are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. On today's episode, we'll be breaking down day two of the Major League Baseball draft. Some really good picks by the Brewers, some upside picks, I think. Some guys that I'm really intrigued to see, really excited for the Brewers to draft. We'll get into a little bit of the Home Run Derby, which was very entertaining as well. Day three. Get into some more draft stuff. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our Locked On MLB Prospects podcast. If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, then we have the podcast for you here at the Locked On Network. That's a Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Alayton. It's the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, obviously, we're into the All-Star break here, so not a lot of on-field stuff to talk about, not really even a lot of off-field stuff to talk about, but fortunately this year we do have the draft to talk about, with them deciding to make the draft part of All-Star Week, which I think is a pretty cool idea. It does kind of shove a lot of stuff in there in a small time frame, but certainly does give us something to talk about. While we wait for games to get back into action on Friday. Can't believe it's have to wait till Friday to watch the Brewers play again. But again, day two, a big draft day. If you missed our day one coverage, me and Vinny breaking down the top two picks for the Brewers, make sure you go back and give that a listen. Sal Frelick and Tyler Black, two really interesting college bats that I'm very high on. I think are very safe picks. But I think both those have very high hit tools, will be very good hitters in the major leagues. They continued the college trend on day two. They've taken all college players so far, which is not surprising. I think you had a lot of high schoolers kind of back out of this draft in order to go the college route. So not really surprising to see that. I think that's kind of the safe play in this draft as well. Again, you didn't get a long look at a lot of these prospects because of COVID last year. So you kind of want to play it a little safe with these draft picks, especially early on. And I think the Brewers have done that. And I think they've made some very good selections. Now, Russell Smith, who they took in the second round, he's not somebody I was very familiar with. I didn't cover the Big 12 a ton. I do cover college baseball, but I didn't cover the Big 12 a lot. But Russell Smith's not really somebody who is even on my radar. I think part of that is because he's missed a lot of time. He had Tommy John surgery, I believe it's after his freshman year. And then obviously with the pandemic, he didn't have didn't play last year. So he doesn't have a lot of mileage on him, which it could be a good thing, which means there's a lot of opportunity for him to save some innings on that arm. But I didn't know a ton about him. Didn't get to watch him a lot this past year or at all, really. But has a fastball that sits in the low 90s, can reach the mid 90s at times. He's known as a strike thrower with good command, which is great. I love those kind of arms. But it's a bit surprising considering he's 6'9". You don't normally see pitchers with that good a command that were that tall. So that's certainly great to see. Apparently has a very repeatable delivery, though, a smooth, easy delivery, which makes sense with the command that he has. But again, just kind of normally is difficult for pitchers who are that tall to maintain that. But he is certainly able to do so. And because of that elite command, it gives him a very high floor as a back of rotation arm. So again, like I talked about with Frelick and Black, you know, I don't know that either of those guys become all-stars. I do feel very good about their hit tools that they're going to hit. But it seems like it's kind of the same pick with Russell Smith. You know, I don't know that he has a very high ceiling, but he has a very high floor. So that's really kind of been the route the Brewers have gone so far in this draft, taking college bats who are pretty safe plays and hoping that maybe one or two of them, you know, break out and become, you know, an all-star caliber player. But, you know, through the first two rounds, I don't see an all-star caliber player in this draft for the Brewers. Now, that's, again, like I said on Monday's podcast, that's not to dismiss any of these picks. I've loved these picks so far, but I think these are just really safe picks. You kind of know what you're going to get out of them. And that brings me to the third round pick and third baseman, Alex Benalis out of Louisville. Can also play first base, maybe where he ends up. Wisconsin native from Oak Creek, who went to Louisville in Kentucky. And this is the first really huge, I wouldn't say huge, but it's an upside pick for me because Benalis came into 2021 college season as a potential top 15 bat. I mean, a legit top 15 pick. In this draft with big power. He had 14 home runs as a freshman at Louisville in 2019. Obviously, you know, he missed 2020. He played a couple of games in 2020, but then missed time with a hamate bone injury. And then obviously with the pandemic, he got off to a disastrous start in 2021, like really bad. But he turned it on later. He finished the year with 19 home runs while hitting 256, which I think he was hitting like 150 after the first month of the season. So to see him finish at 256 was pretty solid. And despite his big power profile, he doesn't chase a lot of pitches. He can hit it out any part of the ballpark, and he takes his walk. So I love this pick, Benalis. I think it's, again, their first really upside pick of the draft in the third round there. So really good pick there. And again, you know, a Wisconsin native, so that's always great. Get somebody out of your backyard. You know, if he comes up and is any kind of contributor, he's going to be somebody the fans can rally around. Try to move through these next picks kind of quickly, and then I'll get into the last five picks on day two. But the fourth round, pick 116, they take a Logan Henderson, a right-handed pitcher out of McLennan Community College in Texas. Again, another upside pick. Again, they went pretty safe with their first three picks, and then they started taking a couple of upside guys here, Benalis and Logan Henderson. Henderson's numbers at McLennan were absolutely bananas this past year. Struck out 169 batters in 97 and two-thirds innings with a 1.66 ERA. Led his team to the Junior College World Series, where he won the MVP honors by striking out 14 and 17 in back-to-back eight-inning starts. He features a plus changeup. I always like it when a pitcher's best pitch is their secondary stuff. But he has a good fastball as well. It's 88-92, so it's not high velo. But he has been clocked, you know, in the mid-90s at times with really good spin rates on that fastball. He's somebody that I think could be a little difficult to sign. Just because he is already committed to go to Texas A&M. And if he can go there and prove that, you know, what he did at McLennan, you know, that he can do against better competition, you're not going to put up those numbers in the SEC. That's just not possible. But if he did that, he'd be a number one overall pick. But still, you know, if he goes to Texas A&M and puts up really good numbers as a weekend starter in the SEC, he can earn himself a lot more money as a first, second round pick. So he's somebody I think that could potentially be difficult for the Brewers to sign, but we will have to see how that plays out. And then the fifth round, they took Ethan Murray, a shortstop out of Duke. The numbers won't jump off the page with Murray. Hit just 296 with two home runs. But I watched this guy several times, and I was really impressed. He's just that kind of gamer, like ball player, like the perfect college guy. I don't know how it's going to translate into the majors, but definitely somebody that I really enjoyed watching. Somebody you know, I thought was a really good just ball player. His swing kind of reminds me of Keston here a little bit with a big leg kick and kind of a wide finish, but obviously not near the power that Keston has. But again, he's just kind of that, you know, can do a little bit of everything kind of guy. Again, just a real kind of gamer. So again, a pretty low ceiling, but a pretty low floor kind of guy with Ethan Murray as well. I think he could be, you know, a utility middle infield type guy at the next level. We'll come back and talk about the other five picks from day two. Before we do that, let me remind you, this episode is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days, it's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto part that your car will need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. So why would you choose to spend twice as much for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? Just head on over to rockauto.com right there on your phone, search the parts you need, buy them, have them shipped to you, and just sit back and wait for them to arrive. It is that easy. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, so jumping in for rounds 6 through 10, I'm not going to have a ton to say on these guys, you know, obviously lesser known players, but still, I think there's some pretty solid picks in here. In round 6, picks 167, they took Carlos Rodriguez, a right-handed pitcher out of Florida Southwestern. Like Kenderson, he was a JUCO freshman this year, so eligible for the draft. He posted a 2.11 ERA in 47 innings with 62 strikeouts and just 12 walks. So very good ratio there, good command. His fastball is 92-95 with a slider, curve, and changeup. So, you know, 4 pitches there for Rodriguez. So a very interesting pick there from the JUCO level. I heard coming into the draft that this was probably the route that a lot of teams would take. You know, just, and I think I've talked about this before on the podcast leading up to the draft. It's not a very good draft. It's a deep draft. There wasn't a ton of high level talent, even, you know, in the early first round of this draft. So a lot of people thought the strategy could be for teams to take, you know, safe college picks early on, and then maybe go for some high upside JUCO players. And that seems to be exactly what the Brewers have done here. Again, they took some safe picks early, took a couple of upside plays with Baneus early on, and Logan Henderson as well. But then they've gone the JUCO route with Henderson, with Rodriguez. So, you know, again, I think that's a smart strategy, a good strategy for this draft. Again, with a lot of the high school players being difficult to sign, I think it's a very good strategy for the Brewers here. In round 7, they go to Southern Illinois University for outfielder Tristan Peters. Led his team, a very good Southern Illinois team, with a .355 average to go along with 6 home runs and 55 RBI, as well as 14 stolen bases starting in center field. He walked 46 times and struck out just 28 times. I obviously love that. That's not going to translate into the big leagues necessarily, where he'll walk more than he strikes out, but certainly great to see that even at the college level. You know, me and Vinny have talked about a lot on the podcast, you know, how the Brewers need some more contact guys in the lineup. Peters appears to be that. Again, 355 average, again, in a smaller conference. But still, you know, the walk to strikeouts there is pretty solid. And again, the 6 home runs and the 14 stolen bases, you know, just kind of tells you he has all the tools there, playing center field, primary defensive position. So I like this pick as well. You know, potential fit in the outfield for the Brewers. I'd like to see what Peters is going to turn out to. Again, it's hard to evaluate some of these players in lower conferences that just don't play the competition, especially in a COVID year where a lot of conferences didn't go outside of their conference to play other teams. But again, the numbers and the reports on Peters are that, you know, well-rounded player, could be a very solid major league contributor, at the very least, you know, a solid fourth outfielder that does some things for you. In the 8th round, they took second baseman Zach Raby out of Minnesota. An exceptional hitter. He was batting .463 with a .526 on-base percentage through 17 games in 2020 before the shutdown. Got out to a really hot start in 2021 and then kind of cooled off. Big Ten was one of those conferences that did not play a game outside their conference. It's a league-only schedule, and he only got 36 games in. The Big Ten has also delayed their season quite a bit. So not a huge sample size. I mean, 36 games is still a pretty good amount, but not what you would typically see in a regular season where you could get up to almost 50 games if you make it into the postseason. But he hit .315 with a .411 on-base percentage, and added some power from his previous years. I think he only hit a couple of home runs in his first two seasons combined, but hit 6 home runs this past season. So showed a little bit of that power. Again, got a good hit tool there. So very intriguing prospect to watch there from the 8th round pick in Zach Arabe. And then they take a couple of South Carolina players with their last two picks on day two. They take Brandon Jordan, right-handed pitcher, again, out of South Carolina. Made 15 starts for the Gamecocks in 2021. That's pretty impressive to me alone, the fact that he, you know, took the bump every weekend for an SEC team. He led the team with 98 strikeouts in 72 and two-thirds innings. Allowed just 54 hits. I think opponent's batting average was like around 204. But did struggle with the walks. He issued 48 free passes, which also led the team. So a bit of command issues there, but certainly some impressive peripheral numbers otherwise in a very good conference in the SEC. Had the low to mid-90s fastball with a plus slurve. Many scouts project him as a reliever, but we'll see if the Brewers give him a shot as a starter. Again, very good strikeout totals there. Didn't give up a lot of hits in the SEC, so I think they probably would start him out as in the rotation. But again, somebody, you know, maybe with the back of the rotation, upside and a middle reliever ceiling. So again, a pretty safe pick there. And then they try to find some power here in the 10th round. They go with Wes Clark, which if you're not familiar with Wes Clark, he was must-watch TV during the 2021 season for the Gamecocks, especially early on when it seemed like he was hitting a home run every at-bat. He finished the year tied for the NCAA lead in home runs with 23. You know, just very fun to watch, very impressive power swing from Wes Clark, but there's a reason he fell to the 10th round despite playing in a big conference in the SEC, playing for a big-time program in South Carolina. One of those is because he doesn't have a position. He's essentially a DH at the next level, but there's also some obvious holes in that swing. He struck out 73 times in 199 at-bats, but you can dream on that 40 home run type potential. So, I mean, it's worth taking a shot on there in the 10th round. Again, a guy with huge power, the DH likely coming to the National League. So Clark gives you that ability there to groom him for that spot. Take another break, and then we'll talk about the Home Run Derby and also day three for the Brewers in the MLB draft. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And you got the NBA Finals going on with your Milwaukee Bucks. You also got the MLB All-Star Week coming up in the second half of the season. But BetOnline.ag does more than that. They also cover awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head on over to betonline.ag on your phone or internet browser and sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Monday night, we got the thrill of watching the Home Run Derby. Honestly, I typically don't care a ton about All-Star Game, All-Star Week, which is why I was glad they had the draft. Gave me a lot to dive into there, but with the Home Run Derby being in Colorado and the bats that were going to be there, you got Shohei Ohtani, Pete Alonso. Trey Mancini was just a great story. Was definitely rooting for him, and he almost pulled it off. Juan Soto was incredible. You know, just some Trevor Story, the hometown guy there with the Rockies. Again, just a really fun outing, seeing guys, you know, regularly hit balls over 500 feet. Pretty fun. They didn't use the humidor for these baseballs. It's a really, really entertaining event. Pete Alonso came away with the crown once again, back-to-back Home Run Derby champion. And it was pretty clear from the first round that he was going to win it. I think he hit like 35 in the first round, and I was just making it look easy and having fun with it. So, I mean, the competition in a way was kind of over after he went in the first round. You kind of could just sense he was going to win it, but it was still very entertaining. Trey Mancini came really close, did a really good job in that last round against Pete Alonso. Ohtani was fun. He and Soto went to like 3 times sudden death. So that was a lot of fun to watch. as well. I think the biggest thing with the home run derby is the pitchers. The guy who was throwing to Pete Alonso was just consistently throwing them, you know, where he wanted them, up and out over the plate. I think that's, you know, an underrated part of this home run derby, is getting a good guy to toss BP to you. But the guy throwing to Pete Alonso was great. I mean, Alonso was awesome as well. His swing was just so easy, so natural. So props to him winning it back to back. That was a lot of fun to watch. I'm honestly probably watched more of that than I will the actual All-Star game. I'll probably just fast forward to the Brewers parts in that one. But Home Run Derby was entertaining. Moving to today on Tuesday, we'll have the day three of the MLB draft. The Brewers will have 10 more picks. Really curious to see what they do here. Maybe will they take a high school player in this draft? We shall see, or they continue to go the college route. I mean, there's still some pretty solid college players out there, I think, that you could take a chance on. Again, continue to go for some of these safe plays. But we'll see what they do on day three. Later in the week, we'll try to get to some second half previews, or I will get to some second half previews probably on Wednesday and Thursday's podcast. As we get into the second half, look at some of who our first half MVPs were, and just kind of review the first half as well for the Brewers, and then start to look forward to the second half of the season. Get Vinny back on here and get his thoughts on it as well, and maybe get his thoughts on some of these draft picks as well. So again, appreciate you listening. Hope you're enjoying the draft coverage. I think it's been a really good draft for the Brewers, all things considered. Again, there just wasn't a lot of superstar talent in this draft to begin with, so I think they've done a great job of, you know, targeting these college players who have pretty safe floors, but also a couple here and there with some upside to them as well. So I think it's been a pretty good draft for the Brewers. We'll see how they wrap that up on Tuesday. That will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Make sure you follow me at ShortstopBall, and also make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.